to leave. Our heart's heavy because.
Thank you. Savior Jesus Christ, who came and taught us the perfect way of life that he had given to us. And we are grateful for his sacrifice and redemption he has given to us, and that he has taught us how not only to love, but to forgive. And in this process, we have found the joy in the blessings of your Spirit. And we are thankful for Jay Brown, who has come through life and has fulfilled this ministry and sharing of the love and the Spirit that you have given to him with us. And he has helped to us to understand the graces of your love and your grace and your mercy. And we are thankful this day for all of our families. We are thankful for my brother Jay and Francis. And we're thankful for Christopher and Paige and Joy. And all these other brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts and so many friends. But most of all, it is the love of the Spirit that you have given to us that has made it possible that we can share in this service today with hope in our life and knowing that we do not live in vain, but that we live in life, and that in the midst of life that there is death, but yet in the midst of death there is life. And so we come today to these moments and thankful and appreciation for all that you have done for us. Bless us now that in these moments that we can honor thee, and all the praise and the glory can be given to thee, for you have made it possible for us to be able to be here today and to share in the abundance of your love and your grace. These things we ask in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
is all unrehearsed today. It's coming from the heart, from the spirit. Please come on. Are you reading that? Baby? You need this mic.
Which way? Can anybody hear me a little bit?
Okay. You might talk up a little louder.
I'll talk a little loud. Can everybody hear me? Okay. My family knows that I tend to write poems for people I care about, weddings, funerals. Bear with me on this one. Was a little bit hard for me, but I hope you understand the meaning behind it. Riding on the wings of a dove. He now rides on the wings of a dove, sending us his undying love. He lived his life to the fullest, no moment to spare, now to remain forever in God's loving care. He lives in our hearts and visits us in dreams. Days gone by now, time standing still it seems. We close our eyes and we see his face. We'll meet him again in a heavenly place. Eyes so sweet and a smile so bright, he now carries an eternal light. He would tell us all to carry on, as that's the way it should be, for it's the love you keep to take, you see. He's not alone, he's got Grandma, Daddy, and Dee by his side, wrapped in a love that will never die. He was known to us all as son, brother, nephew, Myron, and Mr. B, and mate. And all of us, and most of all, that he was always late. Thought I'd have a little bit of laugh in there somewhere. I'm sure Sprint loved us because of the phone calls each day, and now that I'm not sorry to say. I know you are decorating heaven, Brian, with your talent and smile. We're missing you all of the while. Heaven called and he had to go, all of us saying it isn't so. But God knows best, we have to believe. Our heart's heavy because he had to leave. I'm so glad he had family there waiting to hold his hand, guiding him to the promised land. And this is to Mr. B. We are so blessed that he was part of our lives each day, and for that I thank him in every way. I hope you will guide us to go on, Mr. B, from here, for you will always be in our hearts so dear. My wish for you, my buddy, my friend, is a life without pain that will never end. For now you ride on the wings of a dove, sending us your undying love. God bless you, Mr. B. And I want to say a small little bitty prayer. Please, Heavenly Father, we forgive us for our selfishness because we all wanted to keep him here a little longer. But please wrap your arms around his mama and daddy and Paige and Brian. Paige and Chris. And I know he's with them. And thank you so much for taking him out of pain. But please be with them and know that we will never in a million years forget the love that we had with this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man we all adored. I love you, Brian. And I love you, Mr. B. God bless you.
Now, I don't need to preach a sermon because he's already said it, but this is a celebration today. Brian's out of all that pain and suffering. Now, he's looking down at us today, and we're just glad that you're here. So we'll go ahead, Chris, and we'll leave that next.
Henderson, they become more concerned a little bit about locking out.
Y'all didn't hear all his Hendersons. I'm proud of my children and my daughter-in-law, and they're all here except for my middle son. He sent his wife, so I'm very glad that we can make it. And I want you to pray for us tonight as we go back home, so we've got a drive here sometime after to watch it. Kind of like of Myrtle's mother. She went through surgery after surgery, and they taught me that in all the difficulties of life, that God makes a way. And no matter what happens, God knows of the suffering that we go through. Because Jesus Christ himself went to the cross, and this is the greatest mystery of all humanity. You can't explain why the loving and heavenly Father allowed his beloved Son to be crucified at the hands of lawless people. But it was through that suffering that God has taught us how in our sufferings, in our misdeals that we have, and when people mistreat us, and when you help one people, they stab you in the back, that you can forgive your enemies and love them. And that is the secret of life. But in life, there comes two sides to the life. There is a love on one side, but on the other side is the forgiveness. And without the Father, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our debts or forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, then for us, in order to know God's love, we've got to forgive. And that's the secret of life today. It's not how much you love, it's how much you can forgive. And Brian was certainly one who did that, because there were so many things. He always had a joy. And he was speaking to the good of people. And that's the thing in my life he taught me from the time he was 5 and right on. And he had that personality that was filled with the Spirit. I found from this, share this one thing with you, because we're going to give some of y'all a comment and say some things in a minute. But Anna was telling him that she was talking with Brian several years ago, and he had already decided that the way his life was going, that it was planned by God. And I want you to go home tonight and get Psalms 139 and read. I'm not going to read it anymore. I'm not going to read it. It's a long psalm. But you read that Psalms 139, and you'll find out it says in there that his eyes behold the unformed substance in the book are written, every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when I was yet was unformed there, how precious are they that I thought so, Lord, that has visited them. And God has already made a plan for your life before you even came into this world. God has already ordained what he wants to do with you in life. And the problem that we have in life, we want to go our way, and we want to do our will. It's like the cross. We go through life today, and we want to live this way. And God's demand comes down on us and says, no, it's got to be this way. And that's the cross that you have to bear. And Brian, years ago, had already decided that this is his cross to bear, the suffering that he had to go through. And he shared the joy, because this is what life is. It is a cross day by day that you bear. And your cross is different from mine. And your cross is different from his. And your cross is different from this. And there's not any two of us that got the same cross. God has a plan for each and every one of us that is different. And the joy of our life today is to humble ourselves and let this divine Spirit of God that comes down into us to cross our lives, our selfish ways that we go, and find out the cross that we have to bear. It may be in the business deal you've got to give a little bit because that person may, or it may be that somebody, whatever it is, that's what life is today. It's a cross bearer. And we find the joy today to bear this cross, even to love our enemies, and to pray for those that despitefully use you, that we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Everything we do today, it honors our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't come here to wear our clothes and all these beautiful flowers. God has made every one of them. And they were precious in sight. And Brian, he loved these flowers and things. He couldn't be pleased better than what we've had today. But all these things are the creations of God. And these come unto us. And we in return share our lives with one another. Not that we may be glorified, but that Jesus may be glorified. And that's the joy that we have. Thank you so much for letting me come to share with you today. And I just rejoice that I was able to know Brian for these 43, almost 44 years, and what he has meant to me in my life. not only him, but his family and friends and the members of this church. I've held a revival meeting here a time or two, and y'all have always been in my prayers, and I pray for you first. And I ask for your prayers for our family. I'm 75, soon to be 70. I've already lived a month longer than my daddy lived. So I rejoice in that. And I don't know what, 8 years ago, I thought I was going to be gone. The Lord's allowed me to live again, and prostate surgeon and all that. And I just thank you for your prayers, and so rejoice that you're here today.
Thank you.
Birthday party.
All right. Last year, last May,
He wouldn't pick up his phone that day.
Hey, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like, well, why do we want to do this when he didn't want to do it for himself? But anyway, Cindy Lou, his our adopted sister, threw him a party. And guess what? He didn't show up for her. You know what? We had a second party. If you saw the DVD, when he was wearing his green shirt and smiling, he had a wonderful affair. He really did. Also, if you ask him what his greatest joy in the month of March was last year, he got to spend it with a old dear friend, Felisa Bass. He watched her daughter become Miss Hoppin. And boy, that meant a lot to me. Brian was a diva at times, but he sure did love pageants and pageantry, and he was so proud of my daughter. Thank you for being my brother's friend. I told Felisa this. I said, and it, I think it was somewhat fitting. She may have been the first person here today. She was the first person to visit our family Sunday morning. And I thought, wow, this is going to be a wonderful affair. It really is. It just seemed right. I told her, and I know that, you know, Brian's first set of friends that he truly, truly loved was Felisa Bass, Mary B. Wilson, Becky Jo Oliver, Sinclair Jr. I told Becky last night, I said, I may tell a story or two on you, and she started sweating, so maybe, you know, y'all may see me afterwards, and we'll save that. In April, he had a pet project that he so got into. He helped one fine young gentleman get into college. He wrote letters of recommendation. He wrote letters of, were made phone calls. He visited. He forced his way to the dean. All right. Now, how he could do it? Now, Brian could charm. Brian had incredible charisma, but somehow or another, he charmed his way into the counselor's or the chancellor's office and that fine young gentleman is now his alma mater. That made him so very, very happy. He called himself an educator when he worked. Brian could not work the last few years of his life. There was no way possible. The ravages of his body and his health, dialysis, he couldn't do it. He really just couldn't. But to tell you how he touched lives, and maybe a few of you may know this story, when he got his second kidney and the second transplant, he received a give well card from his students. I looked at the card and I said, Brian, tell me what's up with this. It was a handmade card and very crudely made. Well, you see, Brian taught continuing education. And actually, he taught it at a prison. He taught for a little while at Sampson Community College doing GED. But he also taught GED at the correctional facility in Clinton. And he made such an impact on, hey, these hardened criminals, right? They handmade him a note. They tore it, you know. They actually, when I looked at the envelope, they had to make an envelope. And when I looked at it, I said, Brian, I said, how did they get the glue? And he said, well, they took some dairy creamer and put it on the envelope to get it to stick together. And of course, you know, it was crude because they couldn't have scissors, right? So it really was, it was amazing to see the love and support that he got from that support group. And I looked at one of the signatures and there was an X. You know, these guys, a lot of them couldn't read and write before they thought enough of them. that's what education was like to him. It seemed so good to see Lane Bass and Gene Sutton. What two wonderful giants in our local education and in shaping our community. Thank you both ladies for your influence on my brother, and it was tremendous. It was. Thank you so much. In May, he and Cindy visited Maureen and myself at Overcoke. I'm not going to extend on that other than we had a wonderful time. And I took a picture of them at Blackbeard's hideout. And Brian was so animated. If you want to see the photograph sometime, let me know. He was pointing at Maureen and Cindy. And I asked Cindy, like yesterday, I said, what was the conversation? She said, we were planning your 40th birthday. Now, which was coming up the next month. That was June. In June, he hated birthdays. I hated mine. I did not, while I was not liking, I was not appreciating or digging turning 40. I really wasn't. Boy, he pulled me right out of a slump on that. And he talked to friends I hadn't seen in a while, and what a celebration that was. You know, one of the birthday presents to me was, he rented an old round Holiday Inn on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. Well, he got us a room, and that was such a wonderful present, and his participation in the planning of that event. And I have enjoyed 40 ever since. So if you haven't heard it and you're having some, you know, a little bit of trepidation about it, I would recommend it to anyone. And I thank my brother for that. In July, we had my father's family had a family reunion in a beautiful little state park right on the border of Tennessee and Alabama. And Brian drove the family there. We were there for 5 days. Brian was on dialysis for 3 of those 5 days. He didn't get much of a vacation, but boy, what a trooper he was. The day that he had, you know, one of the 2 days that he had off there, he drove me to Memphis. We went to Graceland. We went to go see the King, and boy, my brother enjoyed that. That was so nice. And I thought about the road trips, and Brian made me, and Brian loved traveling. Cousin Kirk, if you haven't met Cousin Kirk yet, if you want to see what my brother was like with two good kidneys, please introduce yourself to Cousin Kirk afterwards. What a fine, fine man he is. Kirk and Brian drove from California to North Carolina. I asked Kurt, I said, you know, because Brian was not, if you rode with Brian, you took your life in your own hands. He was not a good driver. I asked her, how much of the drive did he make?
5 miles.
11.
11 miles. All right. It was how many? 2,600 miles across?
3,000
miles. Brian drove.
He loved it.
Okay. Here's the rest of the story. Brian was home for all of 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. He then drove myself, my father, Uncle Pat. We picked up Uncle Jimmy, and we went to Mobile, Alabama for a week. It was my father's and Uncle Jimmy and Uncle Pat. It was their alma mater. Texas Christian was playing East Carolina. That was Brian's favorite trip. That was Brian's favorite family trip. We talked about it. We talked about it so much. I'm sorry we didn't make the Mardi Gras Mobile. We talked about doing that one too. What a wonderful city it was. What a wonderful time my brother had in the memories of that. I am so very, very blessed for it. In August, we went to the beach 3 times. And Brian was never, ever at pays as much as he was lying in the sand. That's wonderful. He did not want a grave. A few of his ashes will be spread there, and that's how we found it. We talked at length about that too many times. In September, he planned his vacation. He really was so dogged on, he read in the paper that the Myrtle Beach Pavilion was closing after 53 years, and he wanted to go ride a wooden roller coaster. And boy, oh, how much fun that was. I bet we rode that roller coaster 15 times over a 2-day period. He saved his admission van. We went on Saturday, he walked right in on Sunday. He kept it on his arm. And I said, Brian, he's like, don't you want to stop on the way in? You know, let's not roll because one more time. Well, we rode it 6 more times, 8 more times. There was one ride that we rode 35 times maybe. He just winked at the little girl that was operating. That's all Brian had to do. You know, his eyes were beautiful. And he just winked, and she said, all right. And we just rode. And how much fun that was. That meant so much to him. October, my mom's 75th birthday party. Wow. For those of you who attended here in the church, thank you. What a wonderful affair that was, and what joy that brought Brian in the planning of it. And by the way, he had just gotten out of a stint in the hospital that was horrendous, and how he had the strength and the conviction to carry on was amazing. It really was. But October, that was so special. In November, Mom and Dad were at Myrtle Beach. We went to see them there. Got to share a really, really wonderful weekend with Paige and Tori, Maureen and Cindy and Brian and I. And the four of us rode down there, and we met Paige and Tori. And that was, what a great, great time we had there. In December, Dad turned 80, and he enjoyed that. So very, very much thank all of you that came to before him here. That was a big thing for Brian. A second family outing after Christmas, we went to Williamsburg. Kurt had planned a family gathering to see Deanne and Kurt and Brian, like three old musketeers, to see them reunited. I hope a photograph exists. I really, really do with the three of y'all. We were there 3 days. He had dialysis on one of those days, so that day was shot. The second day, his only full day there, he spent driving around my mother, my Aunt Polly, my father. He ferried them back and forth. You know, he didn't get to see much of the city. But he didn't. He took all his driving to say something. Did not. And I think maybe it was funny, we went into a Scottish shop. I wear the Henderson plaid today. We got a Scottish shop. Brian picked up a cane. He was happy. His body was so deteriorated. He got his first cane, and he loved it. It had a little brass knob up top, and when you unscrewed the top of it, there was a compass. And I was like, Brian, I hope it'll take you to the right place. To see my brother walking with a cane, I knew, you know, you don't go back from that point. And I thought, well, I guess I can just start instead of buying him ties and shirts for his birthdays. Perhaps I would buy him new canes. But he really enjoyed that trip. January, he celebrated New Year's with me, and we talked about, what death and dying, and boy, how courageous he was, and how absolutely ready he was. He spent 2 weeks with me. In January, we watched movies. There's an Elton John song called Country Comfort that I bet my brother played 25 times. And he would play it and say, Chris, play again. Come on, brother, play again, play again, play again. And over a 2-week period, I learned all the words. It really was nice. February, he came home. He went and visited my parents and spent the last 2 weeks of his life with my mom and dad. And, you know, he was making peace with everyone. His last day on this earth, he wrote Valentine's cards. He loved that holiday, the day he was buried. What an appropriate day. He would love this day. He would so love this day. What was wonderful about that was he actually sent a card or two out. He had planned on going to church with Dad in the morning.
Here's just what he wrote to my wife. He mailed it Saturday and sent it to my wife. He had 5 inks and all of them got to it. So she got this on before we left on Tuesday.
Oh, I can. And ours was also is on Dallas as well. She could not travel today. So it says, the card says, wishing you a beautiful Valentine's Day. Brian writes, I'm sorry you were having toe trouble and have to miss out on going to Myrtle Beach. It is lonely here without Jim and you. I hope all goes well with your surgery and treatment. Stay strong. All my love. Jay Bryan. I got
my wife wouldn't let me keep the original because she said, I'm going to keep this and so I just had to copy it off and share it with you.
The day before my brother died, he sent me a postcard. Our last talk was not one of our better conversations, from constructive to destructive fairly quickly, but Brian and I had gone there too many times. His last thing he said, all my love. Wow. You know, he was just amazing. He would like this day, and he would love the support all of y'all have given. He would love that so very much.
Let y'all know that he sent her a card on her birthday.
He sent one to Jenna Mae Murray.
Never called her anybody by the right name. And always called me Mae and Jenna Mae. So she got a card yesterday.
He wrote, he told Jenna Murray what a fine young woman she had become. And how proud he was of her. How proud her father would be of the fine young woman she had become. Quite hard. Really quite hard. His favorite movie was The Wizard of Oz. That's why he got buried in the Tin Man part, in his tie. If y'all noticed it last night, I thought it was appropriate for Valentine's, but it was appropriate in so many ways for my brother. You know, he had a heart. He had courage. He didn't have peace. He is at peace now. That was 1 year of my brother's life. And I counted up 200 dialysis visits in that year. He lived a pretty full life just that 1 year. And no, he wasn't working, but when he wasn't on dialysis every other day, he was driving my mother, he was driving my father, he was driving Aunt Polly to doctors all over the triangle. He was cutting and maintaining 2 acres of property between the two gardens in New Grove. And 8,000 square feet of house between two of them. He was also cleaning. Pretty full life. Pretty cool year. Here's the picture. At 4 years old, he was only given 1 year to live. I just think that 1 year, this is my 1 year that I shared. He had 39 more he wants those half. He was always on borrowed time. What a crappy hand life held him. And boy, did he make the most of it. Now, Brian was not perfect. He really was not. But who is? what Jimmy said. Isn't that what Christianity is about? Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for him. How amazing. How absolutely amazing. I'll end with saying some words that his dear friend Jerry Holly shared with me on Sunday. He said he manned up to everything that was given him. He manned up. He didn't complain. He took it with strength. He took it with conviction. He took it with courage. He said he was his hero. Jerry, he was my hero first. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
You want this?
No, God, you probably will. In my heart, Brian will always be young, and he will always be beautiful.
And he will always be watching over all of us. So, and that was one thing. And he always, like JB said, he did want to take care of Francis and Jay. He never referred to them. He's my mom, or mom or daddy. My mama, my daddy. And he loved all of y'all so much, and Chris and Paige more than you can ever imagine. So we were all blessed to have him. So let's celebrate his life, and I think it's fitting that the sun came. It's coming out.
I have something to say.
Now,
he always was with his dad. July 4th, I'm breaking July 4th, we were a week apart. He'd be making lemonade, and then you'd just in on Dallas that week. Every July 4th, he made lemonade at Weeks Park. July 4th, kind of right there, in Weeks Park. Every year.
I'm just going to say 2 seconds. I'm not going to be loud at all, but I don't mean much fun either. I just want to say that he was very loving to everybody that loved him so much. He was very, very good to my children since they had lost their father at a young age. So he took it upon himself. So we heard that and did to somebody in UNCW, that was my son. And my son will live up to that. That's still a problem.
So I can't mention it. Make proud.
You told me that news that it never was a minute that hesitating going to the office because I knew I was getting ready to leave. You're a young man and you might be helping me at all. So he always tried to help me with my kids. And his best friend in the world is Kurt. No doubt about it. He loved his family. Talked about, he never referred to Chris as Chris. He always said, my brother. And like Kurt said, we'll all miss him. And I know he's up there with Dee. I know he's up there with Granddaddy and my father, my grandmother, my husband. And I know they're having a big old card game. They're playing gin. And Granddaddy's probably winning. But I just want to say thank you to everybody for coming all this way. And Kurt, I just have to say, especially to you, it's your good luck, even though. Of any
brand. That's it. I especially want to thank Stephen. Stephen has been an inspiration to Brian. Mm-hmm. And he sang today two of Brian's favorite songs. His very favorite was something about that name. And he always wanted, and just because of what we do. And he always wanted something about that name played. And he left Phil Greek. And Stephen and Chris are going to do that. Thank you all for coming and for praying for him and sending him cards and phone calls. We appreciate it.
One thing, Christ, our grandmother, you look off of me. You'll get it.
I don't know. sometimes that he was going to be inspiration to my family with love for our jury. I think he'd be inspiration to anybody in this church today, and sure we all need to be able to live. And if we could take something that Brian gives to us and give back to other people, I think it would be very good. And by Stephen singing to Brian today, I don't think every student sing will do it in the future. I would like to say that Brian's always here with my family, and today I'm glad I could say that Brian is just going to be here.
In the love and the hope that you've given to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask today that the things that have been said and done has been in your love and your spirit. And we go now and to the world to witness with thee, and we ask that you will encourage us each day and let us rejoice in the hope that we have looking for that day and time when we shall stand before thee and that be welcomed into our hearts. Well, you have told us, let not your heart be troubled, but if you believe in God, believe also in me. That in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go to keep a prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whatsoever I do, we do it in the name of the Spirit. And Philip said, Lord, where are you going? We don't know. And show us the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Blessed be thy name, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close by singing hymn 546. And I think Chris likes to sing every verse. I asked him to sing every verse. He likes to sing every verse. The family wants to remain seated. We'll have everybody else stand.
last verse again. Let's sing the first verse.
That's it.
That other song that's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all make it your own song up there.
Why is the, do we have words of that song?
What's that?
There's something about that name.
Is that in the...
I'll let me see just a minute.
We'll see. It's 115, is it? I think we'll be in 115, and let's sing it twice.